Okay, good morning. Welcome to our Young Israel of Woodmere. I don't have to look that way yet. Welcome to our Thursday morning shiur at the Young Israel of Woodmere. So I hope everyone is enjoying a meaningful Chanukah. We did not meet last week because of the legal holiday of Thanksgiving. Our Rosh Hashanah had special programming, so we haven't met in a couple of weeks. So it's nice to see you again on Zoom and in person, Baruch Hashem. So we are going to learn. It's a Yom Tov of Chanukah, of course. A lot to be said. I actually have chosen for this morning's shiur, I prepared a shiur not focused on Chanukah. I have a lot of Chanukah shiur on my Torah, including two new ones that I gave last night. So this morning I decided not to talk about Chanukah, but rather about Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik is the Chanukah story. His story is always read. The Parshios of Yosef, it's something that I stress and remind you, the Parshios of Yosef are always read by the Yom Tov of Chanukah. There are many connections. I have a shiur on my Torah about that. So today we're going to talk about Yosef and dreams. Dreams, chalamos. So much of Yosef's life and his destiny is shaped by dreams. Not only his own, but by the people that he encounters. One second, everyone's muted, right? Yeah. But by the people that he encounters and their dreams through his life. And this is what I would like to explore with you today, this concept of dreams and the meaning of the dreams. And they also occur in sets of two, because Yosef has two dreams. We're going to begin actually in Perek Lamed Zayin. And then the butler and the baker each have a dream, so there's another two dreams. And then Paro himself has two dreams. So much of Yosef's life, and like I said, his destiny and his future is shaped by his own dreams and the dreams of the people that he encounters. So we will begin today in Perek Lamed Zayin of Bereishis. If you're at home, please, we're starting in chapter 37 of Sefer Bereishis. You don't have to get a chumash if you don't want to. I'll read the psukim, but if you're interested in looking inside, there's no handout today. Okay, there's no handout, so I'm sorry about screen sharing and saying, is this the right sheet on the screen? No handout, but we will be using the Chumash as the text today, please. Okay, so we'll begin in Perek Lamed Zayin. For those of you who are in person, this Chumash we are using, turn to page 198, just to make it easy. I know it's last week's Parsha, but again, this isn't so much Parsha specific as it is a topic overview or exploration of dreams that shape and impact the life of Yosef HaTzadik. I was actually just listening to Shir Yashir on my fast walk by Rabbi Zev Lef, and he pointed out that dreams occur for two purposes. Sometimes you dream because it's something that you're thinking about, and sometimes you dream because it's a nevuah. So I would say that today, when we have our dreams, it's a reflection of something that we're thinking about, either consciously or sometimes subconsciously. You know, sometimes you have a dream and you think, how could that person have been in my dream? I haven't seen them since high school. Some level, somehow, it ties into something that you're thinking about. So Rabbi Zev Lef said that dreams fall in two categories. Either it's something that's reflective of your thoughts, or it's something that's reflective of prophecy, nevuah. So let us begin in Perek Lamed Zayin, which is Parshas Vayeshiv. Yes, I know, it's last week's Parsha. Perek Aleph. Vayeshiv Yaakov Be'eretz Megurei Aviv Be'eretz Kanan. So we are finished with Lavan, and we are finished with Luz, and we're finished with Beis El, and now Yaakov comes and he dwells in the land of Canaan, the land of his father's sojourns. These are the offspring of Yaakov. Yosef was 17 years old. He was a shepherd with his brothers with the flocks. He used to hang out with the sons of the Shvachos, because the sons of the primary wife, Leah, didn't like him so much, as Perek Lamed Zayin makes very, very clear. So he would hang out with the Bnei Zilpah and the Bnei Bilha, the wives of his father, and he would bring slanderous speech about his brothers to father, things he did not understand. He thought they were eating Avram and Achai. He thought they were being Mizalzo, the Bnei Shvachos. He thought that they were having intermarriage with the daughters of Canaan. That's Rashi outside. These are the three things he didn't understand, so he would bring Lashon Hara about them to father, so that already sets the stage. Things are not so good. That's the first thing we really know about Yosef's interaction with his brothers. By the way, it's not the focus of our shiur. It's really a very different shiur, but everything that happens in Perek Lamed Zayin is a platform and a template of what will happen to us by the time of Churban Bayis Sheni. It begins with, actually the Gemara says in Bayis Rishon as well, slanderous speech, hatred between brothers, brothers being jealous of each other, not being able to speak to each other in peace. The Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, Tesknam at Beis Beferish, that the second temple was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. And also the Gemara says or that the first temple, the Gemara says, Lo Have Beis Sinas Chinam, there was no Sinas Chinam. So the Gemara says there was in the first temple as well. Eil B'nei Adam She'ochlim V'shosin Zadzeh V'dokrin Zadzeh B'charvot She'b'lishonim. So you had Lashon Hara and Sinas Chinam in the time of both temples, and it led to exile. So this is the unfortunate Kol Masher Yiral Avo Siman Lebanim, the template for our exile. So anyway, that's a Shira Bega Achas. And Yisrael loved Yosef more than all his other sons. He was the son of his old age. Targum Unka says his wise. He transferred all the wisdom that he learned in Shem Ve'Ever to Yosef, and he made him a special Ksonis Pasim, a multicolored coat. But Rashi says Pasim is an acronym for Potiphar, Sochrim, and Yishma'elim. The troubles that would befall Yosef are reflective in this word, Pasim. Anyway, the brothers see that father loved him from all the brothers. Vayishnu also, and they hate him. So clearly the Pshat already is telling us that something is very, very wrong here in the family dynamic. The lo yachlu dabru l'sham, and they cannot speak to him in peace. Vayachalom Yosef chalom, vayageh le'achav, vayusifu od tznosom, in paraglamet zayin pasukei. And Yosef had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they continue to hate him. Vayomer le'em, shimuna chalom azer shar chalamti. So he says to them, listen to this dream that I dreamed. Behold, we are binding sheaves in the middle of the field. In this chumash is on page 200. Behine kama alumasi, and behold, my sheave got off, v'gam nitzava, and my sheave is standing erect. And what happens? Behine tisubena alumosecha, and your sheaves surrounded my sheaf. Batishtachavena la'alumasi, and all of your sheaves bow down to my sheaf. So remember, Rabbi Zavlev says, dreams are one of two things. They're either what you're thinking about, or they're a nevuah. And maybe sometimes it's a mixture of both. Yomru lo achav, and the brothers are not so happy. Remember, they already hate him, and he's father's favorite, and he is the special code, and they already can't speak to him peacefully. Yomru lo achav, hamaloch timloch aleinu, king, shall you be king over us? Imashal timshal banu, ruler, shall you be ruler over us? Vayisifu otsno, also al chalamosav al derav, and they continue to hate him for his dreams and for his words. And now he has another dream. Vayachalam od, pasuk tes, chalom acher, another dream. Vayisaper so lachav, and he also tells it to his brothers. Vayomer hine chalam ti chalom od, behold, I dreamed another dream. And what is this dream? Hashamesh vahayareach vasarachar kochavi mishtachavim li. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars are bowing down to me. So the two dreams are of objects bowing down to the object that represents Yosef. Vayisaper el aviv el achav, he told it to his father and to his brothers. Vayigor ba'aviv, his father chastised him, his father scolds him. And he says, ma ha'chalom azer asher chalamta, what is this dream that you have dreamt? Havo navo ani ve'imcha v'achacha lishtachavos lecha artza, do you think that me and mother and your brothers are going to come bow down to you? Vayikanu bo echav, and his brothers are jealous of him. So now we have a new sentiment introduced. Not only do they hate him, and not only can't they speak to him, and not only his father's favorite, but now we have the element of jealousy as well. Va'aviv shamar sadavar, and his father guarded the matter. And then the rest of the parak tells us that one day the brothers are out pasturing the flocks, and even when they see Yosef coming, it's very interesting. What do they call him? Parak Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Yitas, how do they identify him? So father sends Yosef to see Ashlom Achacha, go check out how your brothers are doing there with the flock. So he goes to Dasan, he meets a man, where are my brothers? So Vayomru Isha Achiv, when they see him coming from afar, what do they say? Vayisnaklu elav lahamiso, they plot to kill him, but how do they identify him? Do they say there's the favorite son? Do they say there's the annoying son? Do they say there's the son with the special ksonas pasim? Do they say, oh, we hated Rachel and we hate you? No, what do they say? Vayomru ish al achiv, pasu gitesk, how do they identify him? Hine bal hachalamos halazaba. So they recognize that there is something very special that they hate. They're jealous and they hate him, but there's something unique about Yosef because he is identified as a Baal Hachalamos, a master of dreams, an owner of dreams. A Baal Habayis is someone who owns the house. He is the mainstay of the house. He is a Baal Hachalamos, and so much of his life is identified by dreams. So let's talk about three different nekudos on these two dreams, okay? And then we're going to move to Perek Mem, and we're going to look at the butler and the baker dream, and then Bezor Hashem, the clock will be kind to us, and we're going to move to Perek Mem Aleph and get to Paro's dreams as well. Let's talk about three elements. Keep your chumash open for today's shir. Let's talk about three elements in Yosef's dreams. First of all, you might ask, he was only 17 years old, fine. But why did he tell his dreams to his brothers? You already know that they don't like you. You don't have to go waving a red flag in front of a bull and instigate more hatred. You have to be tsanua. I don't mean how you dress. I mean modest in how you live. You don't have to be so showy. You don't have to go say, not everything you think needs to be said. Sometimes you could just tell Hashem how you feel. You don't have to always go around telling people everything that should not be said. Are you bringing further hatred upon yourself in telling and expressing the content of your dreams? So Rav Soloveitchik says, the Rav Zatzal says, that these dreams, and it ties into how I began with that one quote from Rabbi Zev Lef, the Rav says that these dreams were nevuos. And we know that a Navi is not allowed to be koveish nevuaso. A Navi is not allowed to withhold his prophecy. A Navi who withholds his prophecy is Chayav Bisa. Excuse me. And these dreams, says the Rav, were Nevuas. This is interesting because God per se never spoke to Yosef. Even in these dreams, Hashem doesn't speak to him. He dreams of sheaves bowing down to him. He dreams of heavenly bodies bowing down to him. But when the other patriarchs dream, when Yaakov dreams, for example, okay, and he falls asleep and he sees a sulam, and he sees God in his dream, and God is speaking to him in his dream. So Yosef's nevuas are unique in the fact that Hashem does not appear in these dreams. He's dreaming of agriculture, and he's dreaming of astrology, but God does not appear. So even though Hashem is not speaking to him, and remember, did I say it here a few weeks ago, that Hashem never speaks to Yosef? I don't know if I said it here. It's really incredible to remember and to keep in mind. This is like a fascinating trivia fact about Yosef Atzad, that God never speaks to him. Right? I'm not talking about messages and through nature. Hashem Lamaisa never actually speaks to him. And yet, says the Rav, these were nevuos. And because a Navi is not allowed to be koveish nevuaso, Yosef had to tell them. It's sometimes uncomfortable. The Rav says that a nevuas called a masa, a burden. Because sometimes it's a burden for the prophet to reveal his nevuah. People don't like to hear it. Okay, Yirmiyahu prophesied, say, for Echa 18 years before the Churban. So who wants to hear about that? That women will be eating their children. And Darchetzi and Avelis, Mibli Babo 8, Lo Aleichem Kol Ovrei Derach. Who wants to hear that? So they threw the scroll in the fire and they put him in jail. They weren't interested in hearing it. But a Navi must be compelled. And a perfect example of from Tanakh, from another place in Tanakh, is Sefer Yonah. Yonah is supposed to go to Nineveh and call against the city because also Ra Lefane. So what does Yonah do? He goes to run away to Tarshish. He buys a ticket. He goes down to the belly of the ship and he doesn't want to tell Nevuah. Ultimately thrown overboard, swallowed by the fish. So he davens for 3 days. So God saves him in his mercy. But a Navi's not allowed to withhold prophecy. So that's the first thing we have to understand here. Yosef is not trying to bring more animosity upon himself. A person should not do that. We should not live in a way where we instigate and inflame tension with those around us. We should try, in fact, adarabah, to do everything in our power to decrease hatred between brothers and to decrease animosity against other stars. But in this case, says the Rav, they had to be told because they were prophecies. That's number. Now we know they were prophecies because ultimately they are going to come true when his family comes down to Egypt and bow down to him, and he will be the Malach and he will be the Moshe. Right? When Yaakov is told, Vayafa Glibam Kiloha Minahab, when he's told, not in this week's parasha, that Yosef is still alive, and Vichihu Moshe Bechol Eretz Mitzrayim. He is told your son Yosef is alive, and he is the Moshe. And what do the brothers say? Im Mashal Timsho Banu. So these nevuas will come true. That's the first aspect that I want to talk about these dreams. The second question is, was he dreaming about the same thing with two expressions? For example, what does that mean? When it comes to Paro, in Parshas Miketz, okay, Perek Mem Aleph, Paro also has two dreams. What are Paro's two dreams? Don't turn here. We're just going to say it outside for now. Paro first dreams about along the Nilus River, there are seven fat, full-fleshed, healthy cows that come up. And then after them are seven skinny, emaciated, sickly, gaunt cows. And the gaunt cows swallow the fat cows, and Paro wakes up. And then he has another dream, and he dreams that seven plump, full, healthy ears of grain are being consumed by seven gaunt, beaten by the eastern wind, Stufos Kadim, thin ears of grain, and he wakes up. So what is the difference between Yosef's two dreams and Paro's two dreams? If we look at the content of the two dreams, we will note that Paro is dreaming about the same thing. And that's what Yosef tells him. Yosef says two dreams are one matter which God is revealing to Pharaoh. Okay? You're dreaming about 7 years of plenty, represented in the 7 healthy cows and the 7 healthy years. And you're dreaming about 7 years of famine, represented by the sick cows and the sick years of grain. Paro's dreaming about one thing, and that's Gashmias, physicality, agriculture, farming. Paro's dreaming about food. Paro's dreaming about one thing. When it comes to Yosef's dream, we have to look at the content of the dream. It seems to be on the surface that they are the same thing. He's dreaming of rulership. He's dreaming of people bowing down to him. Actually, says Rav Soloveitchik, there are two very different dreams. The first dream, which is the dream of sheaves, wheat, a field, represents what we call gashmias, physicality. Being involved in this world, going out to work, the kemach of life. That's his first dream. His second dream is not in this world. His second dream, if you will, is what we could call otherworldly. His second dream is about the heavenly bodies, the shamash, the areach, the kochavim. So if the first dream of Yosef, this is all based on Salvechik, if the first dream of Yosef is about Gashmias, then the second dream about Yosef is about what we would call Ruchnias, dreaming for the stars. So what's the message? Paro dreams about one thing. He only dreams about Gashmias. That's his whole life. It starts there and it ends there. The message, says the Rav, about Yosef's dreams to us is that the Jew must synthesize two aspects of life. We are a guf, that's the physicality, and we are a neshama, that's the spirituality. The guf can't be in this world without a neshama, and the neshama can't be in this world without a guf. But we must dream of success in both realms. Yosef dreamed of physical success, and he reached it. Okay, in this week's parasha, he is the Mishnah Lamelach, he rides around in a chariot, gets an Egyptian name, he has a Rita Zahav, a golden necklace, he has the king's ring, he dreams of success in the physical realm, and he achieves that. But success in the physical realm for a Jew is useless if they do not remember to always dream of a higher power, of spirituality, of casting your eyes to heaven. While we must be successful in Olam Hazeh, where we live, okay? We're not hermits, we don't go into a cave, we don't shut out the whole outside world, we're not, I don't know how you pronounce exactly the word, we don't separate, I don't know how you pronounce it, so I'm going to try and say it, okay? We don't separate from the whole, we don't abstain, that wasn't the word I'm looking for, but I'll use that word. What? Yeah, what is it?
You don't isolate yourself.
No, not isolate. I was thinking of something else. But we do not isolate from the world. We do not separate from the world. We don't go live in a cave and say we will have nothing to do with Gashmias in this world. That's not our way. Okay, we take Gashmias and we elevate it to Ruchnias. So we have Arba Kosos, 4 cups of wine. That's base physicality. We make it Ruchnias. I'm going to use an example, which I'm not sure it's really true, but we have sufganiyah because they're fried in oil. I'm not sure if we use them to elevate, to have ruchnias, yes or no, I don't know. But the point of the Jew is, can the Jew dream of both? And can the Jew be successful in both realms, says the Rav? And the answer is Yosef. While he was wildly successful in the Gashmistic realm, he never forgot the Ribono Shel Olam. He was also successful in the realm of spirituality, Kedusha, and Ruchnias. And Paro calls him up. Remember, he's been in jail for 13 years. It's a very long time. Okay, between the end of Perek Mem and the beginning of Perek Mem Aleph, there are 13 years that elapse. He's languishing in prison. Maybe he was the warden and may be successful, but he's in jail. And now it's his chance to shine in the spotlight. Shamati Alacha. I heard about you, that you hear dreams to interpret them. And what does Yosef say? It's not me, it's God. Halola Elokim Pitronim. Elokim Ya'anech Tom Paro. It's not me, it's the Ribono Shel Olam. So Yosef teaches us, says the Rav, that a Jew must dream of success in both realms. Yes, you should try and be successful as much as possible in all gashmistic aspects of your life, because that's where we live in this world. But you must never forget the Ribono Shel Olam, Kedusha, the neshama of Yahadus, not only the guf of who you are. We must live in both realms, I wrote in my notes, and we must fight to be successful in both realms. So Paro was dreaming of one thing, Yosef was dreaming of two things, which are two aspects of our lives as Jews. The Pasuk tells us that in Sefer Shemos, the last, in Parshas Mishpatim, the last Pasuk of Perek Chaf Beis, V'anshei Kodesh Tiyun Li, men of holiness you shall be to me, U'basar Basada Treifel Oso, Chelu Lokav Tashlichun Oso. But let's talk about the beginning of the Pasuk for a minute, V'anshei Kodesh Tiyun Li. So I went to Rabbi Shai Shechter saying the name of the Kotzker, great Kotzker Rebbe. Why does it say Anshei Kodesh Tiyun Li? It's this very idea. God says you are men. I want you to be holy men. You're not malachim. I didn't put you here as angels. To be a person in this world means to fuse both parts of yourself. Anshei. It doesn't say kedoshim tiyuli, which comes in Sefer Vayikra, in the middle of Parshas Mishpatim, where we have all the myriad of laws. If someone falls in a pit, if somebody's injured, if you borrow money, if you lend money, take someone's garment. It's all about physical laws, the vast majority bein adam lechaveiro. So the pasuk comes and says, anshei kodesh tiyuli. It doesn't just say kodesh tiyuli, anshei. So as the Kotzker, you must be holy men. And we have to learn as Jews how to not be influenced by the negativity in the physical world, but to utilize the physical world in our service of the Ribono Shel Olam. So the first nekuda was, why did Yosef tell the dreams? Not to stir the pot and make more animosity, but because they were nevuos. The second, and we spoke about Yonah, the second nekuda about Yosef's dreams was that he was dreaming about success in two different realms, physical success and spiritual success. Great message for us, important message for us in our lives. And the third interpretation is from the Beis HaLevi Ala Torah. Of Yashar Ber Soloveitchik Mibrisk, Zchuso Yagen Aleinu. I'm going to finish in 1 second. So the Beis HaLevi points out something extremely interesting about the dreams. He quotes the Gemara that says, all dreams go after their interpretations. Dreams go after their interpretations. So you have to look in the Psukim, please. Okay? I told you to please leave it open. Perek Lamed Zayin Pasuk Zayin. 37:7. It's page 200 in this Chumash. V'hine anachnu ma'alamim alumim b'toch hasada. V'hine kama alumasi v'gam nitzava. V'hine tisubena lumasecham tishtachavena alumasi. Now behold, we are binding sheaves in the middle of the field. Even the sada, by the way, you tend to think of the sada, I'm going back to Roman numeral B. Okay, even the sada represents physicality. Who Yaakov is the Ish Tam Yoshev Olim, but who is Esav? Ish Yodeyat Sayid Ish Sada. Sada is a very physical connotation. Yosef is able to synthesize both of these aspects. He's able to take, be the Ish Tam Yoshev Olim, Rashi to 39:3, Shem Shemayim Shagur Bafiv, but at the same time, he's an Ish Sada. So we're in the middle of the field, and behold, my sheaf got up, and it stood erect, and your sheaf surrounded my sheaf, and you all bowed down. The brothers say, Pasuchas, Hamaloch Timloch Aleinu, will you be king? You will be king over us. Imashal Timshal Banu, ruler, will you be ruler over us? Vayusifu Otsno Oso Al Chalamosav Al Devrav, and therefore they continue to hate him for his dreams and his words. So the Beis HaLevi says, what the Gemara says, all dreams go after their interpretations. Unknowingly at first, or I should better say inadvertently, when the brothers declare, king, will you be king over us? Ruler, will you be ruler over us? They just gave this dream reality. They just interpreted the dream. And by interpreting, speaking, giving the dream a reality, they ensured it would come to fruition. All dreams go after interpretations. So the brothers, unwittingly, unintentionally, when they say Hamaloch Timloch Aleinu Imashot Timshal Banu, what they have just done was ensured that Yosef is going to be king over them and Yosef is going to be ruler over them. And the Beis HaLevi says that's why immediately after, and they continue to hate him over his dreams, they're upset at themselves and they realize what they just did. And what did they just do? They gave his dream substance. And they gave his dream the reality. And that's why the Beis HaLevi points out that by the second dream, the brothers don't comment. Because they don't want to make the same mistake again. Look back in the Pasuk. Vayachalom ad chalom acher, Pasuk tes. Vayisapero so le'echav. Vayomer hinei chalamti chalom ad. So he tries. He tells his brothers, I dreamed another dream. Vihinei ha-shemesh vayareach v'chazar kochavim mishtachavim. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars are bowing down to me. Now, they're not making the same mistake twice. You look how careful you have to be when you pay attention, when you learn the lashon of the pasuk, okay? So, do the brothers comment this time? No, because the Beis HaLevi Zatzal says they already interpreted the first dream. They don't want to do the same thing. And because they don't comment, then Vayisaper el Aviv. Yosef needs someone to interpret the dream, to speak the dream, to bring it to life. And then he tells his brothers, they're not interested, and his father chastises him. But his father doesn't only scold him, his father actually says, Ma ha-cholam azer asher cholamta. But he doesn't stop there. First he says, what's this dream that you dreamt? That would have been fine. But then father makes the second dream a reality. Father says, Havo navo ani ve'imcha v'achecha lishtachavo secha arza. You think me and mother, in this case referring to Bilha, and your brothers will come bow down to you to the ground? So what did Yaakov just do? He made the second dream a reality. He ensured it would come true. And the Beis HaLevi says, that's why it says, Vayikanu bo echav. The brothers are jealous of him. They increase jealousy here because they're upset. The father just made the second dream a reality. And I think that this is a strong Mr. Haskell. If Chazal say that all dreams go after the interpretations or the statements, perhaps it also teaches, I mean, I'm not a Rav, I don't know. But if you have a bad dream, maybe it's not something you should speak about and say, because you see the power of words. That's another very strong lesson from here. The koach of Dibur, in speaking, they interpreted the dreams and they ensured that they would become a reality. It's an unbelievable statement. If you have a bad dream, perhaps it's better not to talk about it. In this case, it was, I guess, good dreams. If you have a bad dream, perhaps it's better not to talk about it, because in some way those words will make it be a reality. So you see just from the pshat of the psukim how amazing it is. They interpret the first dream, they ensure it will come true. They're now very angry. They're not making the same mistake. So by the second dream, when their brothers don't respond, he goes to his father. His father, Taka, interprets the dream, and that's why the brothers are jealous of him, because they're upset at what father just did. Okay, so those are aspects of Yosef's two dreams. Roman numeral one, it was Nevuah. Roman numeral two, they were Nevuos. Roman numeral number two, he was dreaming of two different aspects. And Roman numeral number three was the Beis HaLevi. Now we move on to Perek Mem, the dreams of the butler and the baker. So turn to page 218, actually 216, the beginning of Perek Mem. Perek Mem, Pasuk Aleph, please. I'm sorry, excuse me. Someone wrote something in the chat. Yes! That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Ha! It doesn't have her name. It just says Young Israel of Woodmere 2021. That's her screen name. That's the passcode to get into the Zoom. I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce it. That's what I didn't want to say. But yes, thank you. Whoever you are, that's exactly what I was looking for. This is A-S-C-E-T-I-C-S. Ascetic?
Ascetic.
Ah, Franciscic. Thank you. That's exactly what I was looking for. Yes. Thank you. Good. Okay. Perek Mem, Pasuk Aleph. Okay. Right. So now what happens? Yosef is sold. The caravan, the spices, Potiphar, Sochem, Yishmaelim. I said that out of order. Okay. Perek Lamed Ches diverges to tell us about the story of Yehuda and Tamar, which we're not talking about today. Perek Lamed Ches finds him in the house of Ashes Potiphar. Perek Mem, he's in jail. Because after Ashes Potiphar frames him, Potiphar, the chief executioner, throws him in jail. Okay, Perek Mem. Pasuk, page 216 in this Chumash. Vayhi achar dvarim ha'eila, and it was after these things. Chatu mashke melech Mitzrayim v'ha'ofa. The butler and the baker sinned to their master, the king of Egypt. Vayiktzov paro al shnei sarisav. Paro became angry at his two servants, at his two chamberlains, al sar mashke v'al sar ofim, and he puts them into jail, the jail of the chief executioner, which is Potiphar, the place where Yosef was imprisoned. So the Sar Tabach and Potiphar appoints Yosef with them, and he serves them, he attended to them in the translation of Art Scroll, and they were there in jail for some time. And what happens? One night, the butler and the baker dream, Ish chalomo belayla achad, ish kepitron chalomo. What kind of wordy sentence is that? So Rashi explains, not only did they dream their own dream, so the butler had a dream, and the baker had a dream, but they each dreamed the interpretation of the other one's dream. So the butler dreamed his dream, and the interpretation of the baker's dream. And the baker dreamed his dream and the interpretation of the butler's dream. That's why when Yosef interpreted the dreams, they knew it was correct, because each one interpreted the dream of the other in his dream. Hamashkevavo, okay. So Yosef comes to them in the morning. Vayar osam, vihinam zoafim, and he sees them. And behold, they're not too happy. Their faces are aggrieved. And he asks them, Madua pneicham ra'im hayam? Why are your faces bad today? I happen to love this, because they're in jail. What do you mean, why are our faces bad today? We're in jail, the chief executioner, the Sar Tabachim, okay? Rav Katolaya, according to Targum Unkas, and you've been here for like 11 years. Years. The events from Salvechik says elsewhere in a totally different piece, that the events of Chumash happen one after another. So you don't remember that there's time frame here. They're in prison for over a decade, Yosef at least at this point, for over a decade. Why are you upset? I should say, why are you smiling? What do you mean, why am I upset? So it teaches us something about an Eved Hashem. It's a tremendous Musar Haska. I'm not on that Madrega at all, but it's something to keep in mind that Yosef was able to say, why are you angry today? You should do us Hashem b'simcha. We said it in Hallel this morning. Zeha Yom Masa Hashem, Nagida v'nismecha ba, whatever comes your way, whether you're on, you know, the throne of Pharaoh or in the dungeon of the chief executioner, what are you upset for? This is the day God determined that you should live, so you should be happy in this day. Okay? So, Vayamru Elav, so they say to him, Chalom Chalamnu, we dreamed a dream, Uposer, Eino, so there's no one to interpret our dreams. Vayamru Elohim Yosef, Halo Le Elohim Pitronim. So again, Yosef, you see it right here, he dreams of physical prowess and physical success, but at the same time, he never forgets the Ribono Shel Olam. Dreams are not mine, dreams are to God. Nevertheless, please tell me your dream. Francis, I'm so happy you wrote that. Thank you. It's exactly what I was thinking of. The Sar Mashkim, the butler, tells his dream to Yosef. I have to put this here. And he says to him, so in my dream, there's a grapevine before me. He's dreaming of a grapevine. Okay? Gafen is grapes. Uba Gafen. And on this grapevine, Shalosh Sarigim, there are three tendrils. Vihi Kipo Rachas. And it's like blossoming. So he's dreaming of blossoming grapes. Alsa, it's sprouting up. Nitsa, it's sprouting, it's blossoming. Hivshilu Ashkelosa Navim. And it is ripening with clusters of grapes. The kos paro biyadi, the cup of Pharaoh is in my hand, and I took these grapes, and I squeezed them into the cup of Pharaoh, and I gave the cup of Pharaoh to the palm of Pharaoh. Vayomer lo Yosef, and Yosef says, this is the interpretation. The three tendrils are 3 days. In three more days, Paro will elevate your head, and he will return you to your post, and you will give the cup of Paro into his hand, just like you used to. You will be the butler again. Oh, and then, okay, Pasuk Gedal is not the topic of our shir, but he says, and if you could remember me, please, when you get out of here. That is relevant, though, because his interpretation of the dream ultimately leads the Sar Mashkim to remember him, and in 2 years' time, he's going to get out. Vayihi mikei shtasayim shana, uparo cholem chalem, cholam chalem. Vayihi mikei shtasayim yomim, uparo cholem. Okay? So the fact that he interpreted the dreams, again, remember I started the shiur by saying dreams are very important to the destiny of Yosef. So his own dreams, we already saw, were nevuos, and his own dreams were the catalyst for him being sold to Egypt, because what do the brothers call him? Not the hated, not the loved, not the favorite, not the goody two-shoes. What do they call him? Baal HaChalamos HaLaza. So his dream, his own dreams, bring him down to Egypt. Interpretation in jail of the butler and baker's dream, remove him from jail and ensure that he will become viceroy, along with the interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams. So if you could please remember me, okay? Turn the page. I had been stolen from the land of the Hebrews. I didn't do anything. They put me in the pit. Pasuk tes zayin. Vayar perak mem pasuk tes zayin. Vayar sar ha'ofim ki tov patar. So the baker sees, oh wow. Now remember, I told you Rashi outside. How did the sar ha'ofim know it was a good interpretation? Because he dreamt, because the sar ha'ofim heard the butler's dream interpretation. Remember, he dreamt it. He dreamt his own dream, which he's about to tell us, and he dreamt the interpretation of the butler's dream. So when he hears Yosef say the interpretation of the butler's dream, he knows it's correct. So therefore, Vayar sar ofim ki tov patar, vayomer al Yosef. So he says to Yosef, af ani b'chalomi v'hine shlosha salei chori al-roshi. It's very, very cool. Rashi's very cool. Rashi says, like in our place, the people who go with the wicker basket. So 1,000 years ago in France, they used to carry their bread in wicker baskets. It's just amazing. It's a historical vignette that Rashi shares with us. So behold, on my head, there are these three wicker baskets. Ubasal ha'elyon, mikol ma'achal paro. And in the top basket from all the food of paro, ma'ase ofe. So he's a baker. So he's carrying some baked goods. Maybe they had croissants 1,000 years ago. Or what am I saying? This is way before 1,000 years ago. Maybe 1,000 years ago, when Rashi talks about the wicker baskets, they carried croissants. V'ha'of ochel osam, and the bird is eating them. Min hasal, from the basket, me'al roshi, from my head. Vayan Yosef, and Yosef answers, and he says, this is the interpretation of Pasuk Yerches. The three baskets are 3 days. In another 3 days, Paro will lift your head from upon you. So the other one is going to be lifted up back to his position. You, your head's been cut off. V'tala oscha al eitz v'acha ha'of es besarcha me'olacha. You're going to be killed. You're going to be hung on the tree. The birds will eat your flesh from upon you. And it was on the 3rd day, the birthday of Paro. By the way, it's the only birthday that mentioned in the Torah. So some people say that celebrating birthdays are a goyish pagan tradition, because the only Yom Huladah we are told of in the whole Chumash is that of Paro. And he made a mishta for all of his servants, and taka vayisa es rosh sar hamashkim, es rosh sar ofim betocha vadav, vayashev es sar hamashkim al mashkehu. And just like Yosef said, the sar hamashkim goes back to giving the cup of paro to paro, to serving paro wine, and the sar ofim was hung, just like Yosef interpreted, below zachar sar hamashkim es Yosef vayishkachehu. Sar Mashkin does not remember Yosef, and he forgets him. In regard to these three dreams, I also want to talk about three Roman numerals. How's everyone doing? Amazing, yeah? Torah's amazing. Lamish amazing. Okay, what were their sins? Why were the Sar Ofim and the Sar Mashkim in jail? So Chazal tells, can Rashi quotes, the Sar Ofim, which I'm sure you're familiar with, had served Paro a pebble. He served him bread, which had a pebble in it. And the Sar HaMashkim, that was the Sar Ofim, and the Sar HaMashkim serves Paro wine that has a fly in the cup. So Paro, who obviously everything needs to be perfect, I guess, put them in jail. Okay? So the bread has a pebble, the cup of wine has a fly. So why, based on these sins, is the Sar HaOfim Chayav Misa and the Sar HaMashkim is worthy to get his job back? What's the difference between the pebble in the bread and the fly in the cup of wine? Okay. What's the message here? So this Roman numeral 1 is broken down into lowercase a and lowercase b. By the way, if you look at my notes, I really have no numerals and 1, 2, 3, and mini ABC. You could come see. True story, when I was in 7th grade, my history teacher wanted to keep my notebook to show the incoming grades how you should really take notes, okay? So, it's my personality. So, what's the message on the lesson? The first is, the baker should have paid more attention to detail. If there was a pebble in the bread, that means it didn't fly in. It's under your jurisdiction. It got there under your watch. And we have to pay attention to detail in life. You can't just, You have to pay attention to the big things, and you have to pay attention to the small things. Rav Salvechik says, 1 minute makes all the difference. Before Shabbos to after Shabbos. 1 minute, it's mutter. The next minute, you're chayav. You have to be a people who pay attention to detail. Yahadus is a very detailed religion in terms of the calendar, in terms of mitzvos, in terms of halacha. It's very detailed. The baker was not paying attention to detail. Otherwise, there would not have been a pebble in his bread. He should have felt the dough. He should have checked the dough. Maybe he should have sifted the flour before he kneaded the dough. In some way, it's his responsibility. Even we know by Yaakov that he went back for those pachim ketanim. Like, who cares? It's pachim ketanim. I'm sure you could buy, you know, Tupperware on your next destination also. Do you really need to go back for that? But we must be a people who pays attention to detail. And in halacha, detail is crucially important. Okay? Detail is crucially important. Is the stain, is she tahor or tummy? Detail is of utmost significance when it comes to halacha. Whereas the fly could have just flown in. It wasn't under his watch. It could have happened at the very last second. He was giving the cup. Maybe they were having an outdoor party. I don't know. He gives the cup to Paro and the fly lands in the cup. That's not because he was lax in his responsibility. So from here, you can learn the importance of paying attention to detail, stepping up to the plate and taking responsibility for our actions. It's not enough to leave it to happenstance. You are responsible for all detail. The second nekuda under Roman numeral number 1, which we learn from the pebble in the bread versus the fly in the cup, is that some things in life are in our control, like the pebble in the bread. And some things in life are not in our control, like the fly in the cup. And I'm sure you, like me, know from your own personal lives, I can't imagine you don't, okay? We are not malachim, and we're not saints, and we're not living in the next world. And in this world, there are some things that we can't control. We have to do our best to put in our most effort to control what we can't control. The Sar Ofim was negligent because he didn't utilize his tools and his wisdom to control what he could have done. But the Sar Hamashkim, the fly just came. It's like the nisyonos in life you have no control over. You don't choose them. You didn't ask for them. God sends them your way. It's not by your doing that they happened. And those things in life you can't be held accountable for. Your reaction you can be held accountable for. But not the event itself. I didn't do anything to bring this. Yes, in some divine scheme that we don't understand. But it wasn't by my choice that this is sorry. And I could give you many examples from my own life, which I'm not going to do. And I'm sure you have plenty of examples in your own life. And you know what I'm talking about. So the pebble in the bread and the cup of wine with the fly teaches us two things. Number one, we must pay attention to detail. Yaakov went back for the pachim ketanim. When it comes to running a home, and it comes to being an Eved Hashem, and it comes to fulfilling halacha, detail is very important. Okay? If you turn the oven to 350, you're going to have a cake. If you turn the oven to broil, you're going to have a blackened mess. Oh, it wasn't my fault. Whatever, I wasn't paying attention. When I turned the knob, okay. What do you mean you weren't paying attention when you turned the knob? You have to pay attention. Oh, it's only a few flicks of the knob, but it makes a big difference if it's 350 or 500. You're going to leave the batter in the oven on 500 for an hour. You're going to have a burnt mess. I wasn't paying attention. Okay, there's consequences to not paying attention. Whereas the fly in the cup, you can't catch every fly that flies around. And that teaches us further that there are some things in life that we can control, and there are other and those we're responsible for, and there are other things in life, big nisyonos, that are not in our control. Oh, so when I was preparing this, I looked it up. I was preparing the shiur, and I looked it up. You know the old saying, or I don't know how old it is, but the saying, God, I thought it relates to this idea. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't change. You can't change the fly in the cup of wine, the nisyonos that come to you in life. They're beyond your control. The courage to change the things I can, sift the flour, be courageous, pay attention to what's under your control, and the wisdom to know the difference. Roman numeral number 2. Look back inside the Chumash. Where am I up to? Here we go. Okay, Sar Hamashkim's dream, Pasuk Tes. Page 218 in this Chumash. Vayisaper sar mashkim es chalamo le Yosef, vayomer lo b'chalomi v'hinei gafen lefanai. We already translated it, okay? And if you need, please look in the English. Ubegafen shlosha sarigim v'hi kiporachas al sanitza hivshida ashkosanavim. Count with me. Pasuk Gid Aleph. V'kos, count. V'kos paro biyadi v'akach es ha'anavim v'eschadosam el kos paro v'etin es ha'kos al kaf paro. Vayomer lo Yosef zeh pitrono shloshes asarigim shloshes yamim him ba'od shloshes yamim yisa paro es roshecha v'hishivcha al kanecha v'nesata kos paro biyado k'mishpat arishon asher yisa meshkev. If you counted with me, how many times does he have the word kos in regard to Tsar Mashkim's dream and interpretation? This isn't a trick question. I'm holding on my fingers. So some of the Mefarshim quote the Medrash, and it's very beautiful. The Arba Kosos on Leil HaSeder correspond to the four times the word Kos is mentioned in regard to the Tsar Mashkim's dream. Cool. We always associate that. What? Okay, so I'm going to get there. We always associate it with the Arba Lashonis Geula from the beginning of Parshas Va'era, Perek Vav and Shemos. However, interestingly, there's a Mandrash that says that they correspond to the Arba times it says Kos in this passage, like we just counted together. So, good question. What's the Pshat? What's the lesson? And what's the message? What does that mean for us? Oh, my battery's very low. Okay. Okay, we'll be okay, I think. I hope. So, what's the message and what's the lesson? It's very clear that from here, Galus Mitzrayim began, even though because of the dream of the Tsar Mashkim, Yosef is going to become the viceroy. But it's not really the beginning of Geula, it's the beginning of Galus. Because he becomes the viceroy, his family comes down for food. His family coming down for food is the beginning of Shibun Mitzrayim. They're coming down to Egypt. So what do we say at the Leil HaSeder? Avadim hayinu l'paro b'mitzrayim. Yosef begins as an Eved to the Sar Tabachim, to Paro Mitzrayim. When the brothers come down, next week's parasha, and it looks like a whole wonderful reunion, the reality is it's not so wonderful. It's the beginning of a very bitter Shibun Mitzrayim. So the Kos, four times, of the Sar HaMashkim, that's mentioned in regard to the dream and the interpretation of the dream, allude to the Arba Kosos of Leil HaSeder. On the one hand, they represent Galus, because this dream leads to our Galus. It's this dream that projects Yosef to leadership, but it's that very leadership that brings the brothers down to Egypt. But on the other hand, they also represent Geula, because the Geula comes after the Shibud. After the darkness, after the Erev comes the Boker. So these Arba Kosos represent our sojourn in Egypt. The Galus on the one hand, the Shibud Mitzrayim, followed by the Geulas Mitzrayim. So another fascinating aspect of the dreams. That was Roman numeral number 2, okay? The first one was about the pebble in the bread and the fly in the wine. And the second was the Arba Kosos corresponding to, literally, Arba Kosos. Third Nakuda. How did Yosef know that the butler would live and the baker would die? So I'm sure there's many interpretations. But if you look at the dreams, the answer is clear. The butler says about the three tendrils and their blossoming and clusters and fruit. And I'm squeezing the grapes, to make wine. And I give the cup to Paro. Yosef says, you're going to live, you're going to be the Tsar Mashkim again. The Tsar Ovim says, I'm standing there, and there's three wicker baskets on my head, and the birds are eating from the bread of Paro. And Yosef says, you're going to die. So one interpretation that someone shared with me is that the birds were vultures. So Yosef understood that vultures, they eat carrion, they eat dead meat, they eat carcass. So it must be a sign that he was going to die if vultures were eating from his head. That's one. Secondly, a much more profound, I think. The butler was doing something. The baker was doing nothing. Being active is living life. And being lackadaisical, apathetic, and passive is death. The Ribbono Shel Olam put us here to live. and live we must. Whatever we're doing, we must do it well. If you're baking, bake well. If you're exercising, exercise well. If you're learning, learn well. If you're working, work well. To stand in, the birds are eating. And what is he doing? He doesn't try and shoo them away. He doesn't lift his hand. He does nothing. A life of doing nothing is not a life. A life of living is a life well lived. In the early days of Yeshivat Har Etzion, of Aaron Lichtenstein, Zatzal, used to play basketball with the Talmidim, and he always made sure to run up and down the court. He used to chastise the boys who waited under the basket, saying, "You are not putting in your full effort." And I was preparing my shiur, so one of my sons was there, so I showed him that quote. So he said, Rav Gifter says the same thing. So I said, "You're right, I forgot." I said, "Thank you, Shmuel, for reminding me." So my thanks to Shmuel for reminding me. So I went to get my Rav Mordechai Gifter, our Shiva of Tel Zatzal biography. He was actually Rav Zev Lev. So Rav Zev Lev was something to say, my Rosh Hashiva, Rav Gifter. And I went to get the biography and I looked it up, and my Shmuel was absolutely correct and reminded me as such. And Rav Mordechai Gifter used to say, Rav Gifter cherished life. He saw each moment as precious, a gift to be used properly. He loved productive people. And he always encouraged Gosling. You understand, the butler was a productive person. He was utilizing the tools he had to do something. The baker was sleeping through life. If you're sleeping through life, you're not alive. One time when Rav Gifter was already confined to a wheelchair, a young man stopped his baseball playing to wait for the Rebbetzin to wheel her husband by. Rav Gifter called out to the Bacher, "What are you looking at? An old man? Play ball. And if you aren't playing ball, then go to the base medrash and learn. Do something. Be productive." So my son, he was there when I was preparing the shiur, I showed this to him. He was merely echoing a sentiment from 40 years before. And he would say to a group of boys playing baseball, "Hit a home run." In other words, like with Aaron Lichtenstein's itself, "If you're playing basketball, play basketball. Whatever you're doing, do it well." He would often shout something encouraging to the boys as they played ball. When they looked at him surprised, wondering why the Rosh Hashiva was cheering them on, he would say, "A mensch darf tun alts mit seine ganze koach." I'm going to say it again. "A mensch darf tun alts mit seine ganze koach." A person has to do everything with his full koach. "Azoi darf zayn in leben." This is the way it must be. Otherwise, he would say, the tendency of not doing so will insinuate itself into everything you do. A famous line of his was, if you are fool around in the afternoon, i.e. during secular studies, if you become a batlan during secular studies, you will end up one who wastes learning time and be a batlan in the morning as well. So you might think, oh, the secular studies aren't important, I only need to put my kochos into Torah. If your attitude is, I can be a batlan in this part of my life, then ultimately you're going to end up being a batlan in all areas of your life. Once, when a bacher was leaving the yeshiva to further his secular education, he came to say goodbye to Rav Gifter. So some Rashi Yeshiva might say, don't leave, don't go for your secular education. Rav Gifter said, make sure to make a Kiddush Hashem. Do you know what making Kiddush Hashem means? It means getting A's and not B's. Now my thanks to Shmuel for reminding me during my shiur preparation that Rav Gifter has a similar idea. We've learned a lot of insights. You could come see how my notes are structured if you need. They're very organized. But this to me is one of the most powerful lessons from today's shiur. Whatever you're doing, do it. I don't mean if you're going to eat pork in a strip club, please, okay? Use your wisdom here in Seicha. Whatever you're doing in your life, Yosef dreamed of sheaves of wheat, so be successful. And he dreamed of ruchnius, so be successful. Whatever you're doing, do it well, because otherwise you're not living, because you're not producing, because you're not using the gift that God has given us. Whether it's your physical talents, your emotional abilities, your chachma, your bina, do it well. And that's why Yosef said to the butler, you're going to live. Because the tools that are in front of you right now are grapes. You're squeezing. You're serving. You're doing something. You might be a servant. but you're doing something. And the baker's standing there and doing nothing. It's a timeless message. But it's especially relevant with today's challenges. I'm not anti-technology. I'm teaching on Zoom right now. And I have a smartphone, and I use it for work, and I use it for listening to Rabbi Zev Leff on my morning walks, for communicating with my children. So this is not smartphone bashing. I don't believe in that. I'm not throwing it in the garbage. But we certainly have to question how much extra time we spend on these devices that are not the productive parts of life. Sometimes you walk in the street, have you ever noticed that everyone in the street is looking down? You'll pass 10 people and 9 out of 10 are looking down. Now I know one could be a doctor and another one it's kid, his kid and another one it's a rabbi, but not everyone is always maximizing every single second. We're not always living through the phone. So today more than ever, and it's a shudder, it's a pachad, when you think of today's generation and the challenges they face, because it's such a yetzer hara to do nothing today. It's so easy to do nothing today. It's easier than ever to do nothing. My mother told me, her parents, my 4 grandparents were Holocaust survivors. When they were growing up, you never said to your parents, I'm bored. There was no such thing. They came with nothing. Their first spouses were killed. They each lost a child in the Holocaust. Her father was a welder. Then he owned a convenience store. The mother had a wringer washer, my grandmother. They worked so hard. You never said, I have nothing to do. What's I have nothing to do? You found something to do. So today, what do we have? We bring nothing into the palm of our hands. I'll cough paro. Paro, para. And we have to question, and I'm not giving you Musar. I'm giving Michal Horowitz Musar. I'm really not giving you Musar. I'm really not. I'm stating a fact of society in which we live. If you do nothing, you could be alive, but you're not living. And if you use the tools in front of you, even if you're a servant, that's life. And so Yosef knew that the butler was going to live. The eschot, I'm doing, I'm squeezing. The etenis hakos al kaf paro. I gave it to Pharaoh. I have a purpose to my life. And the baker is just standing completely passive. Oh, there's some birds eating the bread of Paro. Man, okay. And there's nothing to do, so you don't deserve to live. So I had a bakasha that I should get to the dreams of Paro. I think I should call that the triumph of hope over experience. I'll tell you one thing about the dreams of Paro. We already touched upon them, but wait, we did touch upon them. We compared them to Yosef's dreams, remember? We said Paro dreamed of the same thing. Yosef dreamed of Gashmis and Ruchnias. A person like Paro only dreams of Gashmis. And that's why Yosef always remembered Hashem, as opposed to Paro, who never remembered God. That's the first thing Paro says to Moshe, Shemos 5:2, Parakei Pasuk Beis. When Moshe says, free the Jews, so what does he say? Mi Hashem Asher Ashma Bakolo. If you only dream of materiality, you forget God. So we did touch upon the dreams already. One more nakuda I want to say about Paro's dreams. Why did Paro like Yosef so much? Wow, hanimtza kazeh ish asher ruach elokim bo. I never saw anyone who's like you. You're going to be over my entire country. The guy's a prisoner. He's a slave. He's a Hebrew. They hate him. This is who you're appointing? You couldn't find anyone better in the whole of Egypt? So what's the pshat? Everyone else came to Paro and interpreted the dreams. But there's no one who interpreted them to his liking. The Medrash says, one of them says, you'll birth 7 daughters and bury 7 daughters. But what was the real problem? All the other ministers and advisors identified a problem without giving a solution. They said, this is the interpretation. Yosef said, this is the interpretation. There will be 7 years of famine followed by 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. This is what Paro should do. The Yafkin HaMelech Pekidim. Let's ration the food. Let's put someone in charge. And this is also a tremendous misraskal. It's so easy to identify a problem with your kid's school, a problem with your shul, a problem with the pulpit rabbi, a problem with the community, a problem with this and a problem with that. It takes a wise and discerning and courageous, unique individual to say, that's the problem. But I think I have a solution. And that's why Paro loved Yosef. It's not my own pshat, but I don't remember where I learned it years ago, so I certainly can't quote this for shame, Amar. Okay? And that's why he loved Yosef, because Yosef was able to say, this is the problem, but we have a way to work through this. There's a solution. And sometimes you read parents who are struggling with a special needs child before a diagnosis, or even an adult, something is wrong, before a diagnosis. It's one of the hardest times, because you know there's a problem, but you haven't identified what it is, so there's no solution. Once you know what you're dealing with and there's a solution, there's a plan of action, this is how we will go ahead. It's still painful and it's difficult, but it's easier to handle because you know that there's a solution up ahead. There's something to work towards. There's a plan of action. Yosef is a man of action. Yosef was a dreamer. I'm going to take 2 minutes even though I see the time. Okay? There's a story told that there was a traveling itinerant horse trainer. And he would go from city to city training horses. And he would take his children from town to town and city to city training horses. So they were never in any place for very long. One time they were in a certain place and there was an assignment in that school. And all the children had to write your dreams for the future. So this boy of the horse trainer, poor family, writes that his dream is to own a ranch and acres of land. And he's going to be an owner of horses and he's going to hire trainers to train his horses. So he hands in the paper to the teacher. The teacher gives it back to him the next day with a big F. So the student says, what was wrong with my paper? So the teacher says, the grammar was good, the punctuation was good, the plot was good, but this is an unrealistic dream for a child such as yourself. You come from a poor family. You will never be a horse and ranch owner. Rewrite the essay and I'll regrade it. So the child did not rewrite the essay and he kept the F. Many years later, the child grew up and he became a ranch owner and a horse owner. And he invited his teacher to bring his grade to come to his home. And hanging over the fireplace in the foyer of the home was the paper with the big fat F. And he said to the teacher, you keep your F, I'll keep my dreams. Yosef's whole life, that was not my, it was in the paper actually years ago, the Jewish home, I think. I don't remember. Not my story. Yosef's life, his destiny, the destiny of Knesset Yisrael, is guided by the impact of the dreams of Yosef, the dreams of the butler and the baker, and the dreams of Paro. Although Avda Tikvatenu, a Tikva Bachnat Alpayim, Yotam Chashi Be'artzenu, Be'artzion Yerushalayim, Veshuv Hashem Eshiv Atzion, Hayinu Kecholmin. Az Yamalei Schok Pinu L'Shoneinu Rina, Az Yamu V'Goyim, Higdol Hashem La'asos Imela, Higdol Hashem La'asos Imanu, Hayinu Samechem. I wish everybody a lichtig Chanukah. I thank you for joining on Zoom and in person. Have a wonderful Shabbos and again Chodesh. Thank you all. Kol Tov.